as vice presidents on the product team for several years, and our jobs are pretty much the kinds of stuff we're going to be showing you today are the things that our teams have been innovating and building over many years. Because one thing about us is we have been pounding on this kind of technology, and we try to stay on the cutting edge of video streaming technology. So we're going to show you some of the things that make us different and special, and why we're so excited to come to Denmark and share this with the Danish people. So we'll take you through all these devices in a minute when this latecomer comes. You guys were right punctual. Do we have a third? Can we start?
We can start.
Ah, great. Much better. So Matt's going to start you over there, and we're going to wander across the room and take you through the devices.
So if you're not super familiar with Netflix, Netflix is a streaming subscription movies and TV show service. We have over 27 million members across the world and growing. And what we're looking at here is the Netflix experience on a PC or Mac, our website, but we're also on over 800 different devices, from gaming consoles, all the major gaming consoles, to internet-connected smart TVs, Blu-ray players, set-top boxes like the Apple TV here, as well as iOS and Android phones and tablets. So a huge variety of devices. You can use it, the Netflix experience, across any of these devices, across multiple devices.
Where are you with the Windows 8 platform?
We'll be coming out. We're on the Windows 8 platform as well, which is, you know, just starting to get out there broadly. We're very excited about that as well. What we're looking at here is the homepage of the Netflix experience, and you can see some of the details here. But we think it's a very, very affordable value at 79 kroner a month for unlimited viewing of all the wide breadth of content we have, of movies and TV shows, Hollywood content, local Danish content, really something for everybody. And with over 27 million members, we want as many people to try it as possible. So we're very confident that the Danish people will really enjoy it. And so we make it very easy to sign up for a one-month free trial. And here's an example of where you can just sign up on the website, but you can also sign up on a variety of devices that you see here. And right after signing up, you can go right into browsing, click and play. It's very, very simple, very easy to use. The PlayStation 3 over here is one of our more popular gaming console devices, as are many of the gaming consoles. I'll let Todd walk you through some of the unique capabilities and features of that experience.
Okay, so one of those 800 devices is the PS3. So one thing we pride ourselves on is whatever you're in the mood for Netflix, we have a broad, you know, wide variety of content. So here's TV shows, action adventure, Danish content, we have a nice, you know, selection of that. Horror films, comedies, romance, stand-up comedy, sports. You know, so we really take you through a lot of genres and whatever you're in the mood for. One thing we particularly pride ourselves on, where we're on the cutting edge, is the actual quality of the picture and sound. So it makes me think about when I first started working on the internet in Silicon Valley around 12 years ago, when you thought about streaming video, you thought of this little postage stamp that you could barely see what's going on, and it starts and stops, and it was awful. When you think about Netflix streaming, when you start using that, you feel like you're in the movie theater. So let's show you an example. This user here was playing, let's see, let's look at some of the content here. He's playing The Expendables. So I click on it, and right after I click on it, the thing plays in like 2 or 3 seconds, and watch the quality you'll get. So we play this, the guy plays it, and it starts in 2 or 3 seconds, and then boom, right away, you're off to the races. 5.1 surround sound, high definition quality picture image, and you can get all those Stallone explosions exactly as the filmmaker intended it. So this is part of what we're thinking. It's come a long way in how people are watching TV over the internet. This is, you know, cutting edge. Another part of our cutting edge technology is on the movie and TV show discovery process. So in the new wave of TV, you're not going to want to pick, like, it's on 8 p.m., I have to watch it at 8. Unless it's news or sports, that's not worth it. What's worth it is you want to be able to choose from thousands of pieces of content and pick exactly what you want to watch when you want to watch it. So towards that end, with so many choices, we don't want to overwhelm our users. We have thousands and thousands of episodes and movies. So what we do is this. We have cutting-edge personalization technology. You'll notice, for example, this is a user. His name is William. He was watching Dexter, Spartacus, Reservoir Dogs, Lords of War, Flame and Citron. So based on that, we look at all the millions of members on Netflix, and we see people who tend to watch that, we could recommend these suggestions right on top. And we could say, oh, American Psycho might be an awesome title for William to watch, or Alexander, or Robin Hood. And on top of that, yeah, he can look at popular. Here are the popular titles on Netflix at the moment. There's Iron Man on top. There's Social Rose. I'll get back to that in a second, the social TV aspect. But part of the personalization is we have thousands of genres. It's not just, you know, drama and comedy. It's, for William, we chose violent thrillers, American TV action adventure, you know, dark TV series. When Matt will show you on the Xbox, it's going to be a woman who likes more romantic stuff and her kids who like stuff that's probably good for an 8 or 9 year old. So it depends. We bubble up to the top of the experience, the stuff that we think they're going to enjoy the most. Williams could still get to documentaries and romance even if he never watches them, but we put on top to make it really easy from a personalized perspective. Also, we have social stuff. So if you choose to, and many thousands of Netflix members, millions, choose to connect through Facebook, if you choose to connect through Facebook, what you watch is going to be shared with your friends, and you get to get a list and watch what they're watching. So here you can see, out of all my friends, we use our advanced, sophisticated algorithms to say, hey, here's some suggestions for you that your friends are watching. And here specifically is what Mikkel Jensen's watching, or Isabella Nielsen. These are particular friends. And it's not only Isabella who watched Propaganda. It's all these friends down here as well. So you can choose socially. So there's different ways for movie and TV show discovery that we also pride ourselves on to make it a great experience. Let's move over, unless you guys have questions about this.
Can you scroll it down just one bit? Mm-hmm. Oh, up. Then, yeah, just keep it at that.
We're going to get the social TV experience image. Is that good? Yeah? Anything else, or should we move to the Xbox? Questions, or?
I have one question.
Yes, please.
How many seasons of Dexter do you have on it?
How many seasons of Dexter? It's really easy to see. Let's look at TV. In fact, you asked about TV. TV viewing is a special experience here on Netflix, because if we go to Dexter, we'll see what we have. So we're launching with, in Denmark, with 4 seasons, and I expect we're going to get more seasons in the coming months because the Netflix catalog is continuing growing. So for Dexter in particular, if I want to, Dexter, should I close the window because we're getting sound from there? Or are you okay? That's from Tivoli Gardens, and I don't think you want to hear that. Okay, so for Dexter, we're launching with all these seasons, and we're going to have even more in the coming months. And if you look at Dexter, we'll remember exactly where you left off. So if this user, I don't think this user's been watching that much Dexter. Let me take another example of Breaking Bad, okay? So on Breaking Bad, this user, William, is up to season 2, episode 1. We'll remember that. And so when he comes back to play, he doesn't have to think about it. He hits play, it's gonna start up exactly at the second he left off. And it doesn't matter if it's on the PS3 or any other device, we're gonna remember and bookmark that from device to device. So let's look at this as an example. Breaking Bad, I hit play, it starts in 2 seconds. And now he goes like, oh, wait a second. I fell asleep last night when I was watching Breaking Bad. I don't remember this. So what he easily does is he can look now at the different scenes really quickly and go like, oh yeah, that's where I fell asleep, must have been here. He hits play, 1 second later, it starts playing where he wants to start playing from. So he has total control of the experience of watching TV.
And how many seasons do we have of Breaking Bad?
Well, let's take a look at how many seasons of Breaking Bad. We're already updated right through 2011 of 4 seasons of Breaking Bad, a show I really love, and I think people in Denmark are going to adore the show if they don't adore it already, and I guarantee a ton are going to watch this on Netflix. This is awesome. So let's, unless you have other questions about this stuff, let's slide over to the Xbox.
Yeah, so Microsoft Xbox, another very popular gaming console platform and popular amongst our users. One of the things you'll notice here is it looks, the user experience, the interface, is similar to what we saw on the PS3, but it's also different, and that's because we want to make sure we take full advantage of the capabilities of the particular device and also provide an experience that meets the expectations of what a user would expect from using other applications on that device, so more of an Xbox-like experience. The Apple TV over there is another great example of that. The experience over there looks like what you might expect out of an Apple TV experience from using other applications. So on the Xbox here, we have a different user's account. We have Emma. And if we look at Emma's recently watched activity, we see she's watched titles like What Women Want, P.S. I Love You. These are, you know, romantic comedies. It looks like she's into the more lighter, fair romantic comedies. It also looks like there is probably children in the family. We've been watching some children's content like Backyardigans and popular mermaid teen show called H2O. If we browse through the experience, we see similar personalized rows like we saw for William over there, but very different and very specific to the kinds of things we think Emma might like. Of course, she can still get to things that are popular on Netflix, as well as some of the social rows that Todd showed on the PS3.
Thank you so much, Ted Sarandos,
much
Chief
more kids content
Officer
than we
Netflix.
Saw over on William's account on the PS3. Now, kids is a very great, an exciting area for us. We have a large amount of kids' content, and one thing that we're very excited about is a feature we call Netflix Just for Kids. So I can go simply back to the main menu, and I can go into a special section, a home for kids' content called Netflix Just for Kids.
Can you say that in Danish?
Kun for Born. Netflix Kun for Born. So let's jump into there for a moment. Now, what the Netflix Kun for Born Just for Kids section is all about is really a well-lit place of age-appropriate content, all for kids, so parents can feel very safe letting their kids go into this section, browse around, see only kids' content, not the Reservoir Dogs and Breaking Bads that are more appropriate for adults, and also to be able to browse in a much more fun way. So while we provide the personalized rows of movies based on kids' viewing activity and ratings and things that have already taken place, we also provide a really fun way for kids to navigate by character. So we think kids, we've learned that kids think about discovering content in different ways, and this is a really fun way to browse through lots of different characters that we have kids' shows and movies for. And you'll notice this is also personalized. So from the recently watched list where we saw H2O was one of the, and Backyardigans were one of the recently watched programs, those characters have been surfaced up to the top of the kids' character view.
I have a question for you. So if you're a household and you like four people, two kids and man and wife, and you only have one Netflix account, mm-hmm. how do you sort of, is it possible to divide those recommendations into this person's watching this person? Because otherwise it's going to be all mixed up, right? Like this person, she's both a woman, you can see that, but she has her children, so the suggestions will be both for her and her children. Mm-hmm. Can you subdivide your account in some way?
It's a great question. We don't offer a way to subdivide the account at this time. Because we provide a lot of different rows of movies, we do understand that there is a household of different types of viewers, and so we try to provide lists of movies to capture all of those different tastes in the personalization. But we also do a lot of experimentation and testing and are constantly evolving the service, and one of the things that we've recently been talking about is experimenting with the notion of profiles and sort of sub-accounts, if you want to call it that. I think that was the term you used. And so we're going to be testing out those types of features and find the right way to go about that, what works best for our customers, and hopefully roll something out along those lines in the near future. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, Todd.
You could think of this kids area as the first step towards profiles, because this kids area is personalized for the kids in your household. So I have a 6- and 8-year-old. Their characters are bumped right to the top, what they like, and the certain rows and things they like are in there. And so that might be enough. But like Matt was mentioning, we're going to push it further and see if profiles is the way to go to break it down more. Or is it good enough? Like in my house, we do have the, you know, pretentious global cinema things. We don't really have that category. We more have like, you know, serious cerebral foreign films and, you know, goofy romantic comedies. And we can get whatever mood we're in or what my wife and I like to watch together or separately. So it's kind of covered. I'm going to show you one more device that we're always excited about, which is the Apple iPad. So when this thing launched 2 years ago, Netflix was on it right from the start, just like we're going to be on Windows 8 right from the start, because we like to be right on the head, on top of technology. If you browse through the iPad, it's similar. You can, you know, it's a touchscreen experience. So you can look through this thing and touch it and see all the content as you look through. Same thing we show you on the other devices. But I want to show you a little trick about what another special thing this can do. Ah, but before I do that, I want to do a special call out to the people in Denmark. You can click on a special category that just says Denmark. And in that, there is a ton of Danish content. So there we go, Danish drama, Danish comedy, Danish TV. So there's a lot of stuff there. Specifically, let's get a nice picture of that. Specifically for all our Danish listeners out there, we have lots of specific Danish content. And as a shout out to the crowd, I started watching a piece of Danish content last night because I heard this was a fantastic Danish film. It got all these awards. So I started, where is it? I started watching something called Flame and Citron, and if I have to pronounce it in Danish, I'll butcher it, so I'm gonna keep it in English. And so right here, I started it, I'm around three quarters through, it's a fantastic movie. So I can hit play on Flame and Citron, and now, a little thing happens. Notice what it does, when I hit play on this, it asks me, do I wanna watch it on my iPad? Even though I hit play on my iPad, do I wanna watch it on the iPad or the PS3? Because there's a PS3 on in my house. And so I go like, I want to watch it on the PS3. So if I hit that, suddenly it acts like my remote control and it magically starts playing on the PS3 even though I hit it on the iPad. And I can use the iPad as a play device or I can use it as a remote control. I can hit pause. I can skip ahead to another scene. I can hit play again. Then it automatically registers on my PS3, particularly violent scene here. And I could do anything. I could even browse while I watch on the PS3, even though I started on the iPad. I can browse on the on the iPad for other content. So we realize that in the world of TV now, you're in a world of multiple devices, and we want to play into that multi-device experience.
So it's a type of AirPlay functionality.
Yeah, it's similar to functionality to AirPlay, except we do it across iPad to PS3. We do it on Android devices. We're not particular to any device type. We try to have a great Netflix experience across all devices.
Well, looks like we are out of time, but you guys will get a lot of opportunity to sit down with some of our executives and ask them lots of questions in a one-on-one setting. So hope this was useful and helpful for you guys. We're really excited to be here in Denmark.
So Ted, we're going to talk a little bit about the content on the Danish version of Netflix. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we launched today in Denmark with what I think is a very strong collection of films and television from Denmark, from Hollywood, and from around the world. Typically, when we launch any territory, it's a sample set of what to expect, and every day the content set grows. And we typically don't launch with everything the first day because we try to get more and more informed about the local taste by what you do, what you're watching in those early months, and start investing more heavily in the things that people are more interested in and less in the things that you're not. So, but I think it's a very strong set of movies and TV shows, probably our strongest in any of our international launches to date.
How can it be stronger in Denmark than in the other markets, for example, UK?
Measurable example would be the movies in the first pay TV window, the first time you could offer these movies in a subscription from Warner Brothers, which is the largest studio in the United States. We don't have those movies available in the US, the UK, Canada, or Latin America, only available here in Denmark. So we invested heavier in content here relative to our normal launches because we are so excited about the potential of this market.
What do you see exactly as the potential in a relatively small market as Denmark?
Denmark's small in numbers, but high in addressable audience for us. You know, what we really are aiming to do is kind of drive the next generation of television, this kind of birth of internet television. And it's likely to happen in a place where the population not only has access to fast broadband at very reasonable prices, but has had it for a while. so that the behavior in the market is very internet-centric. So the internet becomes the go-to for you in ways that it doesn't for the rest of the world yet, who are not as fortunate to have such fast broadband speeds.
So you see the Danish market as being tech-savvy?
Yes, tech-savvy, and beyond that, with a brilliant pedigree in movies and television programming. So it's great. So it's a great kind of perfect storm for a Netflix subscriber would be someone with fast broadband, lots of devices, and a great taste for movies and television.
So tell us more about the exact Danish content that you've managed to negotiate.
The content set in any territory we launch, a simple way to think about it is about 80% of the programming is kind of Hollywood and international, and about 20% is more local production. I think, by the way, that would change in territories like Denmark, which has a much richer history of movies and television than some places we've been to in the world so far. But we've got, in terms of movies, I'm just going to throw just some samples out, but Super Classico is an example, Flame and Citron. But I think, as an example, Flame and Citron is the perfect Danish movie to have here because it's a movie that performs well for us all over the world. So it's not, we don't consider it local content, right? We just consider it a great film. Clown is a series and a movie that from Denmark that, again, you probably consider it local programming. It's wildly popular on our service in the United States, the Danish version. So you'll see it seamlessly integrates with great movies and TV from around the world.
So the Danish content that we will see launched on the Danish version of Netflix will also be available on the American and other versions of Netflix?
Not always. It is our intent to try to make to license content that would travel very well. As you know, some things are uniquely interesting or uniquely available in one country versus another. But we do first focus on the content that from the territory that we think would travel well. So, and you know, like I said, in the case of Flame and Citron, I think most people in the world think of that as a great international film, not necessarily a Danish film.
Do you think Netflix can have any influence on the Danish TV and film industry in promoting the content that we produce here?
Yeah, you know, we're very proud of a deal we did just prior to launch with the Danish Producers Association for a set of 50 or 60 documentaries. Most documentaries, everywhere in the world, typically will air on television and then disappear from the culture. And this is a license agreement that we have to make these great documentaries available on Netflix, which will breathe the second life into these films and create much better economics for the production of local documentary. So that's just a small example of a way that we really help the industry. The other is there are many shows, big shows in the United States that once they air on the network, we put them make them available on Netflix in all of our territories. Shows like Breaking Bad, The Walking Dead, that the viewership on Netflix actually grows the live audience on the original broadcaster. So that not only are we paying a big license fee, we're also growing the organic audience for the live broadcast of the show in its next season. We just saw this with Walking Dead. The new season just premiered in the U.S. To the largest numbers of any TV show on any network. And in the time period between the second and the third season, Netflix brought about 2 million additional viewers to the broadcast. So it was a very big success for the broadcasters, for the producers, and for Netflix. And our subscribers had the luxury of watching at their own timetable. They didn't have to wait every week to watch an episode. And a lot of them fell in love with the show enough that they tune in to the new episodes.
What is the exact difference between the content that we're going to see on the Danish version of Netflix and the US version?
The main difference is why we would or wouldn't have something is unique local interest or unique local availability. So there is some content, like I said, the Warner Brothers movies as a big example of content that is available here that is not available in the U.S. And we have it even, unfortunately, we even have these differences in Canada, you know, which is a car drive away from the U.S. Because of the international rights. So what you have is a very beautiful global distribution platform in the internet, but the licensing schemes that are available to us are still very regionalized. So we're licensing content when it's available, if it hasn't been previously sold. As the case is usually with the big Hollywood movies, they sell these very long output deals with international distributors. So everybody kind of treats the internet like a regional platform, and my goal for it is to develop it into a global platform, both in the physical properties of it, but also in the business properties of it.
So let's say hypothetically that there are users out there in Denmark that have had access to the American version of Netflix. Hypothetically, yes, of course. Would this be a right time to switch, or would they experience less content that they have now?
It would be a great time to switch. I think it's a the content that they'll experience will be, like I said, in some measures as good as and better depending on your individual taste. But also, you'd have a lot more access to the Danish content.
Thank you so much, Ted Sarandos, Chief Content Officer from Netflix.
This is Reed Hastings from Netflix, and you're listening to Electronista on Radio 24/7.
Reed, you're one of the founders of Netflix. Can you tell us a little bit about the birth of this company?
Sure. It's a little embarrassing, though, because a long time ago, I got a big late fee for returning a video late. And I remember it because I didn't want to tell my wife about it. I felt so that embarrassed. And then a couple years later, we started Netflix, and I realized with DVD by mail, we could make a start of it back in 1997. And then we were only in the States with DVD by mail. And then in 2007, we started streaming. And since then, the company's just been so much fun because it's such a great experience for consumers. With streaming, you can just click and watch. And then 2 years ago, we started our first international market, Canada. And then we launched in Latin America about a year ago. And then in the UK and Ireland about 9 months ago. And now all of the Nordics and Denmark in particular. So we're very excited by that.
Why did you decide to turn to streaming?
Well, streaming is so much better for consumers because you click and you just watch. It's so easy. You don't have to download things. You don't have to deal with discs. It's just simple. And what's happening is smart TVs are coming, like the Apple TV or a Samsung TV or a Philips TV. And then it's all built right into the TV. And you can just click and watch over the internet. And so the new age is the age of internet television.
Why do you think it was Netflix and not Blockbuster who took this strategic turn back then?
Well, I'm not sure, but I would say maybe because we always started with a vision of streaming. That's why we named the company Netflix, even when we had DVDs. And so we were always going for streaming right from the very beginning.
And why do you think Netflix has had such a success on the American market and also now the newer markets?
I think mostly that's because internet streaming is so powerful for all kinds of media. With regular TV, with channel TV, the channel owner decides what you can watch and when you can watch it. With internet TV, you, the consumer, decide what you want to watch, when you want to watch, and even where you want to watch. You can watch on an iPad on the bus to work. It's just so easy. You can pause and resume anytime. It's just much more convenient.
Last year, Netflix took a bit of a dive because of some changes in the pricing structure. You were trying to rebrand Netflix as a streaming service, and also you lost some important content. Can you tell us what happened back then?
Yeah, in the United States market, we started with DVD. And last year, we changed the pricing on DVD. So the streaming pricing has always been $7.99 a month US. It's never changed. But we changed the pricing on the DVD, and then there's now fewer DVD members than there were before. And so that's shrunk. And what we're really focused on is the streaming and making the streaming content better and better. And now in the US market, our viewing, our usage of Netflix is setting new records. I mean, it's just enormous. It was over a billion hours in July.
What kind of influence do you think Netflix has had on illegal content on the internet?
Well, that's an interesting story because in Canada 2 years ago, BitTorrent was the number one usage of the internet. And now, 2 years later, Netflix is number one and BitTorrent is way down. And I think what's happening is Canadians are basically very law-abiding people, but there was no way to get the content, so they were forced to inconvenient downloading piracy. And now with a great service like Netflix, very inexpensive and legal, they'd much prefer to use that. And we're hoping that the people of Denmark are like that too, that piracy is what was used when there was no other way. And now that there's a great way for only 79 kroner a month to use Netflix.
What kind of platforms will the Danish users be able to use to watch Netflix?
Well, that's what's so great about Netflix. Because we're a global company, nearly 30 million members around the world, we've got great relationships with all of the platform vendors. Of course, we're on the Macintosh and Windows PC. Of course, we're on the iPhone and the iPad. Of course, we're on the Xbox and the PS3 and the Wii and the LG TV and the Sony TV. I mean, just every platform under the sun not only has Netflix, but the application works very well.
How would you describe the content mix for the Danish market?
We've got an amazing selection of movies and TV shows here. We've got some of the best U.S. television, incredible stuff like Breaking Bad and Mad Men. We've got Danish TV like The Crown. We've got incredible movies, all the new movies from Warner Brothers, a great catalog. I mean, it's more than any human being can watch.
Do you have any numbers of how many Danish users have already tried Netflix through the US service?
No, we really can't tell when someone, if they've got a U.S. Account, you know, because they've been visiting or they use a VPN or proxy server. To us, that looks like just a user in Connecticut.
But how do you feel you're being received in Denmark? The Danish people ready for Netflix?
I think so. You know, what's great about Denmark is the broadband penetration is some of the highest in the world. I mean, just every person in Denmark uses the internet. It's amazing.
The pricing for the service in Denmark will be 79. How do you think Danish users will accept that?
Well, it's quite a value. I mean, it's a fixed price, 79. You can watch as many movies and TV shows as you want for just 79 kroner a month. And there's no contracts and no commitments. You can try it for a few months. And you can. We have a free trial. Anyone can visit netflix.dk and try Netflix for free.
Tell us a little bit about your work with Spotify, because during this launch, users who already have a Spotify account can get a free Netflix account for the rest of the year. Tell us a little bit more about that.
That's right. For those who have a Spotify paid account, they got an email this morning saying, guess what? You get Netflix free for the rest of the year. So that's quite a value. And it's partially because we all at Netflix use Spotify, and the Spotify team, many of them use Netflix. We really like each other's products, and so we wanted to do this for each other. We're doing the same thing for Spotify in the U.S.
Why do you have such an interest in each other's customer?
Spotify is a music subscription service over the internet, and we're a video subscription service. So that's what makes the two services close, but not too close, like not competitors.
Before this interview, I asked Twitter if they had any questions for you. And so I'd like to ask you on behalf of Twitter, will it be possible to take the Danish Netflix account across borders? Let's say a family is traveling to Germany and the child is watching Netflix on the back seat of the car. Can the child still watch Netflix when they cross the border?
When you travel to another territory that has Netflix, so if you travel to Norway or you travel to the UK or to the US or to Brazil, then it works great. And it's the local content. So you get to really have, like television, you get the local experience. Unfortunately, we're not yet in Germany. So if you travel to Germany, then it won't work.
Another question from Twitter was, will the children's content be dubbed or subtitled?
What's great about Netflix is through the computer player user interface, you can choose, do you want subtitles on or off, or which language do you want, and the audio track also. So we don't have to decide, we let the user decide.
So it's actually possible to get Danish voice on cartoons on Netflix?
On much of our content, we have, if it's, say, English-produced cartoon, it'll have a Danish Danish audio track dubbing. Not on all of it, but on a lot of it.
Thank you very much to you, Reed Hastings. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and it's great to be here in Denmark.
Neil Hunt, You are Chief Product Officer at Netflix. Can you tell us a little bit about how a user actually uses Netflix practically?
They register, they sign up on a laptop or on one of the devices we have. It's a subscription service for TV shows and movies, 79 crowns a month, free trial, 1 month free trial for anyone. So you typically start on the laptop, but maybe take it to a large screen television of some kind, maybe with a game console, a PS3, an Xbox, a Wii, or a smart TV application. Sign in with your email address and the password you created. Be presented with a range of choices of TV shows and movies. See something that's interesting, click on it, starts playing immediately, delivers a high quality, high def 1080p on the right screens, 5.1 audio, plays through to the end, no commercial interruptions. If it's a TV show, all the episodes are up. You get to just keep on watching as long as you want. Don't have to wait till next week. It's really a great system for really immersing yourself in TV shows, in entertainment, in film, enjoying the whole range of stuff that we have available.
But watching TV on a gaming console might not sound like the easiest thing for the average user. Is it easy to watch Netflix?
It's very easy. In fact, if you have a gaming, if your kids have a game console attached to your TV, it's attached to the TV, and the ability to watch a show on it is very straightforward. But many TVs, certainly any TV that's sold within the last few months or year or so, it's often a smart TV with smart TV applications, and Netflix has an application on most of those TVs. We support over 1,000 different devices, whether those are televisions, Blu-ray players, set-top boxes, things like the Apple TV. And they're all easy to use. They're built into the TV or directly hooked up to the TV as the normal course of business. And so, yes, very easy to use.
Last week I talked to the Danish TV producer, last week I talked to Bang & Olufsen, who make televisions here in Denmark, and they just launched a new flagship television, but they don't have Netflix on it. Can you tell me why that is? It is a smart TV.
I'm not sure why they don't have it on. We would be happy to work with them. We have an SDK, a package that we give to TV manufacturers that they can install and build onto their television. So I think it's a matter of time till we're able to add Bang & Olufsen to the lineup of televisions that includes Netflix.
Why is it important to have access to Netflix through so many different platforms?
We want to make sure that no matter what kind of devices people have in their home, they always have a way to access Netflix. And whether that's a TV or whether it's a set-top box that converts an existing screen into a smart TV, or whether it's a tablet, an iPad or an Android tablet, it's another great way to enjoy Netflix. Ability to find a Netflix app for any of those devices within a few seconds, be able to log into your Netflix account, pick up the show that you're interested in, point where you left off, and watch it through as long as you want. It's a good thing.
Have you seen anything in the Danish market or the Danish user culture that you think will affect the way that Danes will be watching Netflix?
The data for the first few hours here says that the Danish broadband is very strong, and so I feel very good that the Danish consumers are going to have a great experience. They're going to see a high-quality picture. It's going to be uninterrupted. And they're going to really enjoy what they see.
One of the things that I've been missing using Netflix in the American version up until now is the social aspect. Are you planning on integrating social media on the platform?
Yes. In the American market, there are some obscure legal restrictions that make it hard to do. But in the European market, the Danish market, we do have a social component. There's a Facebook Connect element, so users can choose to link their Netflix account with a Facebook account. And then they are able to share what they're watching with their friends. And then when their friends come to Netflix, they'll see a row of selections which are friends' favorites, integrated across all of your friends. And then we're able to pick out maybe recently watched titles from one or two of the friends who we think are likely to be similar taste based on what you've watched, what they've watched. So as a combination of, we use the term social recommendations along with the more conventional algorithmic recommendations technology blending together to find the perfect thing to watch.
Will we be able to share a link to just watch this film on Netflix? You should watch it too on our social media.
To a large extent, that would happen automatically for anyone who's chosen to connect their Netflix account with their Facebook account. As you watch, it will share a story and say, I've watched this title. If you choose to not share it, you can click the button that says don't share or unshare, but the default will be to share for people who've chosen to connect. Of course, for people who decide they want a little more privacy, the ability to disconnect is very straightforward. It's really your choice. You can be connected or not. And we're going to continue to explore additional ways to use social media to explicitly share, to share on other platforms, and to use that platform to drive more and better suggestion for people.
Up until now, it's possible to search for an actor or a title, but would it be a good idea to search for rating? Like, what is the top rated film in this genre, for example?
That's a good idea. We should we continually expand and enhance, and so there's a lot of ideas like that that we'll be looking to address in the future. We do a search by actor, genre, phrases in the synopsis, a variety of different things like that. Adding rating, that's something that we can certainly explore and experiment with.
And another thing that I've been missing is search for year. Like the year of this movie or this TV series, why is that not possible?
It's not something that's been particularly useful. The library is broad and diverse, and a year is not a particularly good way to index into the catalog in our experience. We certainly can explore that. Our philosophy on this is that we like to keep things as simple as possible. Not add unnecessary complexity. If we allow searching by year, then things like titles that contain a year suddenly get diluted with all the other stuff that happens to be made in that same year. And so there are unexpected side effects that may make that not ideal. So we test and explore those things and see which ones work well. That's one that hasn't made the grade so far.
Which platforms do you expect to be most popular in Denmark now that you've launched here?
Well, of course, everybody has a laptop or a computer of some sort, so that will be popular. The game consoles, there's a large installed base of game consoles, so I think that PS3, Xbox, and Wii will account for a large share. Tablets are a rapidly growing category for us. And then the variety of smart TV applications, I think that's the long-term growth pattern because they become the easiest platform to use in the long term. It's in the television. You don't have to turn on two devices. You don't have to make sure it's connected to the right input. We expect all televisions in the future to be smart TVs, and we would love to get Netflix into all of them. And so in 5 years' time, that will be the platform of choice.
Where you stand, what do you see as the most interesting thing that's happening right now to the Netflix product?
Well, right now, today, of course, it's opening up to a whole new set of users, and I'm super excited to see how the Danish users explore and like the catalog that we've put together here. In the longer term, we continue to look for more and better ways to help people find really great content that they're going to enjoy and to deliver it in a really seamless way. And so a large portion of my team is working on continuously enhancing the user interface, the recommendations and suggestions, the social media stuff. And users should expect to see the service continue to improve week by week, month by month, both as we add new kinds of content and as the platform itself gets richer and stronger.
Thank you very much, Neil Hunt, Chief Product Officer at Netflix.